The rules aren't important. What's important is it's linear. Every time I throw this ball, 100 different things can happen in a game. He might swing and miss. He might hit it. The point is, you never know. You try to anticipate. Set a strategy for all the possibilities as best you can. But in the end, it comes down to throwing one pitch after another.
It is April 12th, 2024. I'm Matt in Geistown Borough, where the countdown to the end of tax season is in the hours. Thank God.
Oh yeah, that's right. Monday, isn't it?
Yeah.
Monday? Oh, well, good for you. Well, I'm Steve in Southern Bedford County, and I was hoping that with the eclipse going through, that the world would have ended and I wouldn't have to worry about taxes come Monday. So now I'm scrambling.
Oh, I loved that, by the way. There were so many people like, oh my God, you know, kind of partly joking, partly kind of just nervous folks, even that I dealt with on a day to day. Oh, you know, what is this? Is this a sign or whatever? I'm like,
yeah,
whatever. I'm stocked up. I'm good to go. I got supplies. Like, it's whatever.
People get a life. It's an eclipse. You know, I went out and, I went out to go feed my horses. I was checking on my horses, and I looked up and I saw, you know, because we weren't in the main zone, and I could see the moon going across it. And I was like, okay, great, big deal. And I went on about my business, you know. So anyway,
we went outside and stuff. I drug people out. I mean, it's kind of like, okay, cool. It's also an excuse at the end of the year to go kill a. Hour instead of lecturing or anything. It's just kind of like, whatever.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I see.
Instead of actually doing work, it's easy to say, it's a once in a lifetime event, which means I can't sit at my computer and do work.
I've seen two or three of them over my 60 plus years of walking around.
You have traveled.
I've been around the world. Anyway.
I don't want to come in this office from the living room to do the podcast. My laptop was in here. Yeah. If I could have set it up out in the living room. I'm tired, man. It's been a long couple of weeks. Yeah. That's why we haven't been around. It's been a long couple of weeks.
Been busy, huh? Have you ever seen a movie called The Greatest Game Ever Played?
No.
It's a movie about golf. Now, I'm not a golfer. Let's put that out there. It's fine if you like the game, just not for me.
Watch what you say.
No. I'm just saying it's just not for me. I mean, I've played it. My dad loved to play golf. My brother is a fantastic golf player. He does a lot of pro-am stuff. He's at that level.
To get him where a flyer to sponsor our event.
Yeah. He's played with, you know, as an amateur, he's played with a lot of professional guys and these pro-am tours and things like that. He's at that level of playing. And I admire the people who have the skill and mostly the patience to play golf. I like both. But I like a good movie about it. And two movies that I've enjoyed watching was The Legend of Bagger Vance.
Okay.
Which has Will Smith. And this one I came across yesterday called The Greatest Game Ever Played. It's from 2005. It's a Disney production. And it has one of the actors in it that I recognize was Shia LaBeouf. He was like the main character in it. And it was about, it's actually a biopic movie about the biographical movie of the guy of a champion, golf champion, amateur golf champion, Francis Ouimet. And as a 20-year-old in 1913, he won the U.S. Open. It's a really good movie. It's well-written, well-done, got a lot of subplots to it and everything. But as I'm watching this, what it was the British decided to come over and they wanted to play in the U.S. Open. And the US Open is the America's Open,
Yeah.
is America's golf game.
Wow, there really isn't
Golf.
anybody else in this movie I recognize.
No. But it was interesting is the Brits decided that they were going to come over and win and take the US Open Cup back to Britain to show that Britain was better than everybody, especially these, stupid colonies that we used to be. And as I'm watching the movie, I find myself getting annoyed while watching it because the two British golfers who came over, they weren't from the gentleman's society, the upper crust of England. They were both basically poor guys. One was from
Commoners
Jer,
in the
yeah, commoner, yeah,
UK parlance.
yes, thank you, commoners. But and they weren't allowed to join the golf club. But the golf club employed them to play and stuff like that. And they brought them over to play against the Americans because, like, the Lord who's sponsoring all this was promised a seat in Parliament if he would win the US Cup and bring it back to the just to show that Britain was the best. And at this time, this guy, the Lord, as they called him, Lord, whatever, snot nose, was talking about how the sun never set on the British Empire because that's how world dominant they were at the time.
Sure.
So literally 111 years ago. As I'm watching it, and then that cultural, that class, breaking down of classes, the society, societal class. You had the upper people, and then you had the commoners. How that had carried over into the United States of this Francis Ahmet, that his father was like Irish, I think, seemed to be, that he had that mentality. I guess he was like a first, he was like an immigrant to the United States, but he had that mentality that you couldn't rise above where you were because he'd come from Europe. And of course, Europe is very much set in that class warfare, or not class warfare, but that class, societal class stuff and everything. As I'm watching this, I was, like I said, I was kind of getting annoyed about it because I was thinking about, well, you're in the United States. And his son, Francis, didn't believe that he couldn't rise above that. It's because it's America. If you work hard, and you're willing to accept personal responsibility for your actions, that over time, it's not going to happen immediately, but over time, we don't have a class, we are literally a classless society. That's what establishes. We don't have a king. We didn't have parliament and things like that. We didn't have lords and knights and I don't know all the different names for what they have in England for different people and stuff like that, but it
Dukes and
was.
duchesses
Yeah,
and
dukes, duchesses, all that to me, all that bullshit that people think that their blood is blue and everything like that they're better than everybody because of the way you were born or who you were born to and how much money you had. And so as I watch this, and it's a fantastic movie. It's a really good movie. It's not like a boring, watching. It's not boring. It's actually well written and everything. That at the end, he ends up winning. But as I watched this and became more and more annoyed, I got to thinking about our country and a country that I lived in. I was born here, lived in here all my life, spent 22 years dedicating my life to defending the Constitution of the United States. And it dawned on me that the people that we have elected and put in Washington and Harrisburg, if you watch them on television, mostly in the Harrisburg, you don't see on television very often, but if you watch the people, the senators and the congressmen and the president and everything, and you watch their attitude and the way they speak, now we have elected them. They weren't born into being in a king. They weren't born into high society, like in England, but they were elected and they got in there and they've gotten money and they've accumulated wealth and they've accumulated power. They treat us like we are commoners. If you listen to the language of politicians, it's a constant talking down to us as if we as Americans, whether you have a high school diploma or a college degree or whatever level, from bachelor's to master's to PhD. They being the politicians, talk down to us as if we're too ignorant to even know what's good for us.
Yeah.
And so we as a society, which for 240 some years have always based it on a man or a woman, doesn't matter what color your skin is, what background you have, that if you are willing to work, spend time educating yourself, spend time building a craft or a trade, getting the experience and everything, that you can rise to any level that you decide you want to be. And there are no barriers. There are pre-imposed artificial barriers like they have over in England of where you can go to. But yet we as a society, that's where, that to me, that's where it looks like we've gotten to, is these people, I'm irritated by it, these politicians, they act like they're royalty, as if they don't, you know, as if they don't use the bathroom, as if they don't make mistakes, as if they don't have the same faults that we have and everything. And it because they got elected, that they're smarter than us.
Yeah. Well, even how the language is crafted to reinforce that. Think about even when you see the conversation in news media or whatever. So-and-so said something. Trump said something or whatever. And you know, we need to expect more from our leaders. Well, no, they're not leaders. Mm-mm. They're not. It's not designed to be that way. They're effectively representatives
of a republic.
Yeah. So the concept is, you got together and sat down and said, okay, we have a whole bunch of stuff to do. Jim, you're all right. Go and talk to these people and make sure that we're taken care of. Keep the country safe. Come back and tell us what's going on. Mm-hmm. That was the concept. Now, the people who would have been in that room originally can't even meet with the whoever has preceded Jim, mm-hmm, 200 years later, because you knew the guy. His farm was next door to yours.
Right, yeah.
Or he owned the general store or the stables or whatever. Like, oh, okay, well, you know what? You seem like you got it with you. Go to D.C. and come back after a month or so and tell us what's going on. Now it's a career that is effectively built along the lines of an ingrained deference to authority that is, I don't know if it's reinforced from a cultural perspective, which doesn't make sense, or part of an educational system that reinforces that, but the idea that, oh, geez, you know, that person, and it's to the person, too. Most people like their congressman. No one likes actual Congress. But it's set in a way that does put people in the mindset of, well, no, he's a good guy. We did defer to him. He's a leader. Building a role that is not the intent and is actually very destructive to the system. I don't know how much have you watched this week of the big blow up going on in the House right now?
None.
Okay. A bill got killed with a handful of Republicans voting with the Democrats. And your gut reaction, knowing you, is going to be what? If you don't know what the bill is, if I say a handful of Republicans jumped ship and voted with the Democrats to stop a bill,
Well, actually, I was curious. My first question was, what was the bill about?
There you go. Okay, that's a good question.
It wasn't all those damn Republicans siding with the Democrats.
Good, because
it wasn't that. It was my question was, well, what was it about?
There you go.
That's the
because most
question.
People played it, especially when you look at the media, of, oh, political intrigue and the party's falling apart and da da da. And Trump put the
which
finger
is
up.
Just dividing the country
yes.
even more. It's,
what the
it's not.
Bill was, whether or not to push forward the legislation that would re-up the authority to do the secret FISA courts so the FBI can spy on people.
Well, in that case, so they killed the bill, so it can't continue. That.
It at this point, it's not continuing. They're still going. They're still trying right. to figure it out.
Well, in that case, knowing what the bill is about, and since I don't like the FISA thing anyway, I would say, well, good on you, the guys who jump ships the incorrect term for me. I would say for those of you
stood
who
up
put
for the
aside,
Constitution.
Right, yeah. Who put aside the party BS and looked at what is good for the country and the overall people that you represent and made a sound decision based off the information you had in front of you. Good on you.
Here's the 19 of them. Andy Biggs of Arizona, Dan Bishop, North Carolina, Lauren Boebert of Colorado, Tim Burchett of Tennessee, Michael Cloud of Texas.
Okay, the last three are all, well, Tennessee, North Carolina, and Texas are very conservative.
Yeah. Boebert, yeah. of course, in Colorado is very, very, very Trump-focused.
Uh-huh.
Ellie Crane in Arizona, Matt Gaetz in Florida, another
very
conservative Trump congressman, Bob Good of Virginia, which is the one that surprises me, I think, the most, Virginia, because the mm-hmm. national security apparatus came out of the woodwork and, you know, oh, we'll, you know, there'll be 9/11s every week if you don't.
Yeah.
Paul Gutsert of Arizona, Clay Higgins of Louisiana, and Anna Luna of Florida, Nancy Mace of South Carolina, Corey Mills of Florida, Ralph Norman of South Carolina, Andy Ogles of Tennessee, Scott Perry of Pennsylvania, Matt, I don't know where Scott Perry's at, Matt Rosendale of Montana, Chip Roy of Texas, Greg Stubbe of Florida. Not our congressman, by mm-hmm. the way.
No.
He voted for it.
Yeah.
But literally, as our representatives, if you said, hey, are you cool to anybody? Go to the, well, I was going to say go to the mall, but no one goes to the mall. Go to the store and say, hey, are you cool with the government having a chance to look at everything you're doing? Well, no. Okay. Our congressman said, yeah, you'd be cool with that as your representative.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't see it like as a representative. It's, well, we know things.
Well, that goes back to power.
Yeah.
I want to back up a little bit. Something you said when we were talking about society, I'm going to call it the class warfare, that, because I can't label it. I don't know what to label this. About, I was talking about whether our elected officials act like we're too ignorant to do things, as if we're commoners.
Mm-hmm.
You said
elitism.
Huh?
Elitism.
That's, yeah. Okay. Good word. The elitism.
It's that college education, man.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know you got that silly, you got like that master's thing going on, don't you? You know, so, and I just got a silly bachelor's of science degree. You know, what would I know?
Yeah, that's true. You know? See, I'm elitist.
Yeah. Yeah. You elitist, bloody elitist. This, but it's, you said society, possible things, societal and education could be causing this. But from a societal standpoint, if we back up and go back to what I said, we as a country are literally, we have no class, saying that tongue in cheek, of
yeah.
course, as we were not established on class. like, you know, like in Britain, like in India, the country of India
it's a very is very caste-based system.
Yeah, that's the term they use,
caste-based.
Yeah,
class tends to refer to economics. Mm. Caste tends to be societal, especially and to some extent also job-related. Religious leaders versus warriors versus merchants versus... Usually there's a caste of like unclean, like maintenance people, or garbage people, or butchers, or take care
of the dead animals and things like that. I remember reading about that, about India. But we as a country have established ourselves since its founding that we don't have that. So we've never taught that, and we don't have it in our education, as far as I know. Now, granted, I have been graduated college a long, long time ago, that we don't teach different classes of society. There is that. You know, you can take yourself, you know, from a poor kid who grew up, a poor kid who grew up in Baltimore City for the first 12 years of his life and had really no future outlook, to somebody who, you know, 50 some years later has owned two successful businesses and lives very well. And that's me. You know, if you'd have met me as a kid, you'd have like, just another kid running around, isn't going to do anything. But through using the educational system, getting a degree, spending years, I didn't go to 4-year college. I spent 10 years going to school at night and everything, got that, and working hard, was able to achieve more than what my parents had. Because my parents, they always wanted us, my brother and I, to go to college. They had high school diplomas, which was more than what their parents had. Their mm-hmm. parents never graduated high school. And then they said, you know, we want you to graduate high school. That's a big thing. And then, of course, my parents wanted my brother and I to graduate college, which we both did. And it kept raising it. So it's not an educational thing, and I don't think it's a societal thing. I genuinely think it is the politicians that are in place are using this class warfare or this elitism as a way to maintain power and to suppress our rights and our freedoms, so they maintain the power that they have.
Oh, I agree. I just my point to the education side of it is, what's the piece that's allowing people to just accept that? Because you can want to do a lot of stuff, but if the other person says no, we're not going to play that game, it doesn't happen. My point was towards the what has created that mindset where people are like are very deferential to those things, to those concepts. And I don't know, especially considering you and I spend time with a lot of the same concepts and the same people that don't feel that way. Mm-hmm. I've met politicians that I like and I respect, not because they're politicians.
Okay.
I've met the people in those positions are like, oh, okay, you're a good guy. You're a good person. You're doing something whatever. We've met some. Actually, you and I have both worked for one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Difference being is it was never because, oh, you have that position. And I just don't, I guess my area of question was, why do people just blindly accept that when, oh, he's in Congress. We have to, you know, he's a leader of the country. Like, what? Why do people latch onto that blindly? Mm. When I don't know where it comes from, because we're not built that way as a country.
Yeah, it's a good question.
And I don't know an answer.
Yeah. Well, perhaps it's the years of... years of the media being part of pushing the narrative that because you're elected, that you are special. And this is not just a recent thing, but over the years that you're elected, you've been elected and everything. And then you're in a position of, you got the spotlight on you regularly, and that makes you special. In fact, let's take it to take it in a bit of a different direction. You got a kid that starts off playing pee wee football, mm-hmm. works hard, and I'm going to come back to hard work and everything, or even basketball, hard work. Has a talent, but works hard, and it moves up from pee wee, you know, to junior high or middle school to high school football to gets to college level football, keeps working hard, and then works really hard, does really well, capitalizes on their talents, and then gets picked for the NFL, gets drafted.
Okay.
Gets in, works hard in the NFL, working their way up through the ranks, you know, through the different levels of how you get from a rookie to becoming an all-star or anything, but through hard work and everything, it becomes an all-star, a nationally known football player and everything, or a basketball player, or a baseball player and everything. Or in taking it the other way, you go to Hollywood and you work your way up and you become a well-known actor or actress.
Okay.
So you either become very good at playing a kid's game, or you become, in the sports world, or you become very good at pretending Hollywood. And when you interview, and when the media interviews those people and they ask them a question about what's going on in the world, about what wars we're fighting, or what people are running for office, and those people say something, what does the rest of the people automatically do for them?
They usually listen.
Right. Why?
I don't
have a platform.
They have a platform, but people have platforms. Right. But it's, I guess that
my point,
it's the same. It's the same psychology, I guess, because they defer to somebody. Oh, well, you're on TV. You're, you know, right. I see you doing that thing.
There you go.
Versus putting it out and saying, wait a minute, you are really good at playing a sport that requires you to have repeated head injuries. Maybe we shouldn't listen to you on other things.
Yeah. Or you've played a sport that you run up and down a court and you're able to successfully throw a ball through a round circle on a consistent basis.
Yeah.
Or you're really good at pretending you are a U.S. Marine in combat and you're an excellent actor, or you're a spy that does multiple series of that, that you used to work for the CIA or something like that, until they say cut, and you go back to the guy who's drinking coffee and reading People magazine, you know, but yet you go on television, you go on the red carpet, and people defer to them as if there's something special. It's the same thing. It's like, what makes the guy who can play a kid's game really well and his opinion or her opinion any more, carries any more weight than mine or yours?
You're effectively making an interesting argument that the ability to elect people is a bad thing. In the sense of...
All right. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I didn't see that curveball. You just hit me and I wasn't wearing a helmet.
Well, the safest way to do it. No, because you're effectively talking about a person who has the ability to win an election.
Yes.
Does not the ability to campaign and win elections in no way is a reflection on your ability to problem solve and govern?
Agreed. That is okay, let's take Obama.
Versus anyone.
Obama was a great campaigner.
Yeah.
He was really good. He's really good at giving speeches. He's really good at
fundraising, all
people.
The campaigny stuff.
He does things really well for that. But as a leader, the ability to solve problems, he was an abysmal failure.
I'm on board.
Steve's opinion.
No,
Steve's
I'm on board.
Opinion.
No.
Steve's abysmal. Great campaigner. Good speech. Great, gives great speeches. Articulate. Does really well at all that. Absolute abject failure as a leader to lead a country.
And that, I think, applies to... Is there a federal leader... There's a leader. See, now I'm falling into the trap. An elected person in the federal government that is effective. And somebody you say, yeah, I think you should be there. I think you're the right person. And actually, honestly, God, I think the only person I'd say that about is Rand Paul. Because I genuinely get the feeling that Rand Paul doesn't want to be there. Just has an obligation because to decide to try to say like honest to goodness, honest things that and actually defend Constitution. He's like, well, I don't want to do it, but no one else is gonna, so I'm gonna have to. Mm-hmm. It goes back to, I remember years ago it was Andy Rooney was on an interview one time, and he was joking around about stuff, and he goes, my theory always is if you want to be president, they should have we're going to have the election for president. So everyone, like you know, was it 4 years ago or this year? Doesn't matter. All the candidates get out there. So you got DeSantis, and you had Nikki Haley, and 87 other Republicans out there. A year or 4 years ago, it was Harris and Biden and mm-hmm. Cory Booker and all the rest of it's like, hey, you guys all want to be president? Yes. Okay, good. You're out. If you want to be president, no. Mm-hmm. It's.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, no. You actually want to do this job? No, you're disqualified. That is a disqualifiable offense that you think this is a good thing for you because that means you have an agenda that isn't.
That's an interesting point.
Yeah, it was a very interesting joke. But the more I thought about it at the time, it made sense. The ability, we have a representative to government based on the on Congress, on the House and the Senate and a White House that are the couple hundred best campaigners in the country.
Yes.
Without any actual ability other than age restriction and residency, which even that's kind of loosey-goosey anymore.
Yeah.
There's no other requirements. And that means all you have to do is be a good campaigner. Doesn't mean, and I'm not participating or arguing to say, okay, wait a minute, we need people, you know, you have to be this level of educated or be able to produce this much wealth or whatever. No, I'm talking about something that everybody, to back to your class elitism concept, everybody, no matter your ability to have wealth, generate wealth, education opportunities that you've taken advantage of or not, still can solve problems. Still come up with ideas, still do things that are productive in your life. Sometimes it's little things that you just, hey, I have to come up with a solution. Sometimes it's things that change a lot of the world. You know, I go back and I'll argue this or point this out a lot. Steve Jobs is a college dropout.
Yes, he was.
Apple Computer, depending on the day, rivals or is the biggest company in the world. And oftentimes has more cash on hand than the federal government.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me.
College dropout.
Mm-hmm. But he had an idea. He worked hard.
Yep.
Hard work.
Stuck to that vision. With it.
And when everybody told him you can't, he didn't believe it. He said, yes, I can. And continued on with it. And I'm not an Apple guy. I know you are. I'm not, you know, it's just not a product that really jumped out at me. But he was a very good person. You know, he was great for figuring things out and solving problems.
That's it exactly. The idea that solving problems, there's nothing that in a campaign, especially a campaign that no or very few candidates run and deal with themselves. There's an entire industry that literally is just completely going into shock right now because the primary season was a disaster financially, including the media companies, that is built around campaigning.
Yes.
Consultants.
There are people who do nothing but make money off.
Here's how to campaign. Here we're gonna focus group this language, and we're gonna design this handout card, and we're gonna do this commercial and make this commercial, and they have all these companies that do that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not even like they're campaigning and being able to demonstrate. You know, it'd be at least a little more practical that we know the person has the demonstrated skills we're asking them if they have to compete in the Olympics. Okay, gold medalists only get to be in Congress because it's the same level of I have no idea what the hell I'm doing in Congress, but at least what we judged you on, we could sit there and watch you ski and shoot or ride in the bobsled or whatever. Okay, we clearly know you have demonstrated that you have mastered this skill. You don't have to. Dead people win elections.
Yeah, true.
Because the campaign continues on. So we don't even elect them based on their skill set showing that they are the best campaigner. They're just can hire the best people to campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Or hire better people than the other person.
Effectively
a stacked rigged system. Where 94.5% of whatever the seats in Congress are safe gerrymandered seats with limited ballot access for anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
See what Kennedy's going through now. Mm-hmm. Trying to get on ballots in states.
Right.
So at least if we said, hey, you have to win an Olympic gold medal to be in Congress, we at least know you have one skill that you physically demonstrated you have the ability to master.
That's interesting that you brought that up. Isn't the majority of people who are elected in Congress and the Senate attorneys?
Yep, lawyers.
I remember. Yeah, lawyers. So as a lawyer.
Actually, the guy I like, Rand Paul, is an eye doctor. He's not a lawyer.
Right. Correct. Yeah. So when you're a lawyer and you get hired, I hire you as an attorney. So you are Esquire Matt, and I hire you because I have, a wrongful termination suit against Corporation X.
Yeah.
What am I hiring you to do?
Be the
win
best.
Win or lose. Just break it down even more of that. Win or lose?
Yeah, win.
Am I hiring you to win? All right. So as an attorney, whenever you get hired to do something, you're hired to win. Not hired to compromise. Not hired to lose. You're hired to win. So if you take a person whose sole focus is only on winning at all costs, and you elect them and you send them to Congress.
Okay.
And they roll into a bill. They want to propose a bill. What is their focus on doing because of their mental, not mental focus. What is the current?
Their ultimate goal to win again.
Their world view.
To win again.
Their world view is to win again. And if you have somebody that comes to you who is not an attorney, who is elected like Ryan Paul, mm-hmm. and says, well, hey, you want 100% of all the highways rebuilt, 100%. We can't do that, but we can get 60%. Right now, and over the next 10 years, we'll be able to get the other 40%.
Okay.
And you're an attorney, and your worldview is win at all costs. What are you going to say to me? Did I come in with a compromise?
That's not, you don't want to compromise. You want to win.
Right, win. Yeah, no, I'm going to say no. I want this only, and I want it now. And we're not going to compromise. I'm not going to have that because that's considered a loss because I didn't win. So I think the problem we're dealing with is the worldview of attorneys that are elected is to win at all costs and make no compromises, because if you compromise, you're not winning. Perhaps that's one of an underlying factor of why things don't get done.
It could very well. And the easy, I don't say an easy, the real fix to that is to, and I'd reference back a couple episodes back to how we'd fix things, is completely change the election process. Open up ballots. Open up the ability for more people to run. Make it easier for people to run. So that if you think I have a great idea. And I think I want to talk about this and propose this idea. Honestly, like when I ran, when you ran, the idea of, hey, here's a plan. Here's what it is. Here's what I want to get done. That can't, if you make it easier for people to say that and do that, you're going to get people who don't have the ability to spend time, like especially a lot of lawyers do, when they want to be when they want to run for office, and just leverage that legal contacts, those sorts of things. You could get, hey, here's a dentist. Here's a school teacher. Here's a shopkeeper. And get back to what I was describing earlier about that concept of, oh, hey, you're a person. Community knows you. You're great at what you're doing. We think you'd be good there. Go do it. Come back. Tell us what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Mrs. McGillicuddy in... teaches fourth grade, has taught fourth grade for 25 years. Everyone in the community knows her. Great, practical, kind of down-to-earth person.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, we're sending you to Congress. We 500 people say, yep, we want you on the congressional ballot. Okay, they get the signatures, 500 people, she's on the ballot. Another thing you have to do with that is completely break the two-party political system. To do it.
That has destroyed a lot of things.
Yeah.
Completely ruined things. Yeah. Well, I was just looking up a quote from William Shakespeare that said, one of the ways to solve a lot of problems is to kill all the lawyers. William Shakespeare said that.
Yeah.
Don't CIA, NSA, don't come after me. It's not Steve saying that. It's a quote from, it's a play from, I believe Henry V. Yes, or Shakespeare's Henry VI, Part 2. Act 4, Scene 2. Yeah, the first thing we need to do is let's kill all the lawyers.
Yeah.
Maybe that would solve a lot of problems. But yeah, I think tying this all back to elitism is that we have lost. We are a republic, but not a democracy. First off, we never were a democracy. We are a representative republic. But the people that we send to Congress, and even and whether it's at the state level or the federal level, do not represent the people. We don't have any plumbers that I know of that are elected to Congress.
No.
We don't have any electricians. We don't have any concrete workers. We don't have any people that have built who build roads. The tradesmen or tradeswomen. All right. We don't have any people like that. We don't have any housewives that I know of. The people, women who've dedicated their lives to raising their children and running the house, which is a job that I wouldn't want to do because it is horrendous and it's a nightmare to try to do. None of them. What we have is all professional politicians who are mostly attorneys that are in there. So it has become an elitist organization who talk down to us,
yeah,
you know, us air quote common people, us everyday people. Those of us who go to Walmart and shop at Walmart because we're trying to save a dollar because of the inflation so high, because that never got solved. Those of us who are out there taking care of, you know, fixing the electrical problems, you know, being an electrician or a plumber, things like that. We truly are not represented by those of us who actually work with or actually have a real job.
No, and no, there's no way there. There's no way there is. They just, it's not there. I'm pulling a clip up. I'm going to play this audio, okay, at least as much as we want to go with it, because it just reminded me. I've saw this video before. It's a video of stuff, and I've sent you Andrew Heaton stuff before.
Yes, yeah.
This is a video he's done. Buck Schwartzmore, the sociopathic congressman.
Hi, I'm Congressman Buck Schwartzmore, proudly serving Maryland's 12th Congressional District. You know, I've run unopposed in the last two elections, but I know not to take things for granted. One of you people's probably going to stab me in the back and run for my congressional seat. Who? I'm not sure yet. My money's on Jeremy Thurton.
I am Jeremy Thurton, and I don't know where this is coming from. I have no interest in running for politics.
Sure, Jeremy. I believe you. I've worked for the House for 6 years. Yes, I've had my share of skeletons in the closet, but America's the land of second chances. And if my wife forgave me, and if my second wife also forgives me, then you can trust me, Buck Schwartzmore.
Let the mighty eagle soar.
Jeremy Thurton won't admit he might be running for Congress.
I actually have a mattress business, which is pretty great. You know, it's not glamorous or anything.
Oh, private sector dark horse candidate Jeremy Thurton brags about how he has his own business and has never been indicted on perjury charges or snorted blow with Barney Frank in a Cannon House bathroom. Whoop-de-doo. Well, guess what? I'm opening up my own mattress store. Now who's the small-time business owner on Main Street? Me. You're a congressman. I call on Jeremy Thurton to grow a pair of balls and declare his candidacy so I can fight him like a man. I'll beat Jeremy Thurton, and then I'll continue fighting for American values in Congress. Thank you. Buck Schwartzman.
Oh, brother.
That I'm proud to be an American.
It just gets progressively...
Congressman, yeah. Schwartzmore. Yeah. I don't...
Gets progressively just more, right, psychopathic. So yeah, you could search it and see the whole thing on YouTube. But it's not that far from the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's all that it's just thinking about that winning.
Yep. Win, but not fix anything.
Yeah. And just the concept. And I sat and watched that happen this week about Republicans making an argument to have secret courts, especially after it was revealed 288,000 known instances of the system being used illegally to tamper or to tap wiretap Americans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like
over a quarter of a million.
What?
Well,
Well, Steve, this is depressing as hell.
Well, yeah, it can be, but yeah, it can be, but going back to what I originally started with, and I'm in my 60s, you know, literally watched the men land on the moon, you know, and I was too young to remember Kennedy say, you know, when he talked about, you know, putting a man on the moon, set that as a national focus for us and everything like that. But I watched the Gemini program. I watched the Apollo program, watched the shuttle program and everything, because I really liked all that stuff and everything.
Sure.
I've watched a lot of things, you know, change over 60 plus years of living here. But the one thing that I've always believed in, that no matter who you are as an American, or even if you come here to this country and you want to chase the American dream of, you know, of having a better life for your children, that it boils down to one thing and one thing only: a lot of hard work. And because we don't have that stratus, that striatia of different classes, and you can't go through that ceiling to the next one, that if you're willing to work hard and spend years doing it, you can. Doesn't matter who you are, as long as you're willing to work. I still believe that. You know, now I may be a bit naive in believing that with the way the country is going and everything, but if you're an elected official, you're a man, you put your pants on the same way I do, one leg at a time. You're not special. You made a funny, but what do you,
nothing,
you like jump
nothing.
Up in the air? You jump up in the air.
That's what I was trying to imagine. is because that saying, I always think about that when somebody says that saying. It's like,
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know what? I'm just like you. I drive on the right side of the road.
Right side of the road. Yeah. Unlike the English, who drive on the wrong side of the road. But no, but that's the point, is just because you're elected doesn't make you special. You're just elected. Congratulations. You won an election. Big deal.
Yeah.
Now go do your damn job and solve problems. And if you're a politician, I've yet to meet one that has solved any problems.
But I think the problem is what we established is the job isn't to solve problems.
No, it's to keep the problems like it is so the country stays.
The problem is to get to win re-election.
Yeah.
And to raise money. And that requires problems.
Yeah. And if you start solving problems, then there's no reason to have you as a politician.
Yeah.
An elected official. Anyway. Well, Matt, I don't want for this particular day, I don't want to get you more depressed than you are. I don't need to find out you went out and jumped out of your, you know, your one story house and landed in, you know, 3 feet down and
in the
mud, in the snow. All right. Hey, have a great weekend. All right, Matt.
You too, Steve.
Yeah.